good-looking bunch of people you all are. There we go. Hey, I want to just lift up to you what a great group of people that we've had these past few weeks and years, really. But the effort put in on the clothing giveaway that took place yesterday here at First Baptist. Let's give them a round of applause. And the first hour plus, there were 50-some people. I think the day ended up with 70-some. And a lot of people were helped with clothing and toiletry items and any other things that were around that were given away. Just really appreciate everyone's donations, the work that was put in, the effort that was made. It's great. And so thank you all, and you are helping to better lives and to change lives. I told you last week that I wanted to share some figures with you, and I kept looking around for them, and I couldn't find them. And when I got home, of course, there they were, as I remembered they were, prominently displayed on my dining room table. But I was sharing with you about core ministry, and you all have responded so generously in raising nearly $3,000 already. And so thank you for that. Yes, praise the Lord. And I want to share these very impactful figures with you, and I've jotted these down at a meeting I was at a couple weeks ago. Since April of 2020, when the program began, there have been 37 graduates. That is also, in those families, were 27 children. Seven children and seven adults have gotten out of poverty. $164,000 in debt has been paid off. They've increased income in totality of $240,000+. 10 people now have a driver's license. 9 people have insurance now. 12 people have safe housing. 9 have a bank account. Two families have bought homes. 3 folks have paid off court fines. Seven individuals have come clean from drug addiction. 7 individuals are in therapy. 21% of those who graduate from this program are out of poverty. And 68 people have increased their income as a result of being here. And 78 people have stabilized, meaning that they know how they're going to pay their bills. This is the impact of core community in Bond County and eliminating and solving poverty. So thank you for what you've done. And I wanted to give you an opportunity to celebrate. So they're going to continue some fundraising, but this is a way where you can get yourself a meal and also help core. So on this coming Tuesday at Joe's Pizza, there's going to be a fundraising event. Dine in or carry out or delivery, and you just call Joe's and place your order, and a percentage of that is going to go to core community. So remember that Tuesday. Katie, we'll send out an email to everyone so that you know, and we'll post it on our Facebook page so that you have it and are reminded. But Tuesday night, if you need something to eat, go to Joe's, all right, because it's supporting core ministry. So thank you for that. Also, the Fellowship on the Go trip that we planned twice, not once, but twice last year, once was canceled due to COVID, once was canceled due to weather, has been rescheduled coming up. And so there's a sign-up sheet and some of the particulars on the back. There's limited space on the bus. So if you want to sign up and be assured of a spot, please make sure you do that today. And also reminding you this morning of all of the Lenten services. We have 2 more remaining. This Wednesday we'll be at the Bible Way House of Prayer, which is in the Royal Lake Mulberry Grove area. Give yourself a little more time to drive out there so you're there by noon, and a luncheon will follow. Also, our Easter services are listed, and upcoming special worship opportunities for Holy Week. And we encourage you to take part in each and every one of those and make it a priority to be there and to be reminded of all of the things that God has done for us through Jesus Christ, His Son. not only at this time of the year, but always. And so just please be in prayer and make an effort, a strong effort, to be part of this wonderful faith community. Is there anything I missed by way of something that needs to be announced? If you have an Easter lily that you'd like to bring in and decorate the sanctuary, you can do that, and then pick it up after worship on Easter. Okay, yeah. What's going on, Tucker? You told me he was going to give me a little run for my money today. It's all right. I'm good with it. Yeah, he's got some good lungs. This morning's scripture lesson. Yeah, David? Yeah. Oh, yeah, go ahead. That's right. Yes, yeah, thank you. And there's a note in the bulletin about that as well. There'll be some offering envelopes available, and we'll be receiving that all through April. Thanks, Linda. Sorry I missed that one. Our scripture lesson this morning comes to us from Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, and verses 1 through 10. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Zacchaeus the tax collector. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." May God add blessing and understanding to the reading and hearing of his word. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree, for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree, and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today." You remember that from Sunday school and vacation Bible school? Yeah. Well, as I was remembering those words, I decided to Google it and YouTube it and see if there was something else. And I found that my Sunday school and vacation Bible school teachers were remiss in teaching me the second verse. There's another verse. Did you know it? Did anybody know there's another verse? Does anyone know it? All right, here it is. Zacchaeus knew that he did wrong, and sorry for his sins was he. "For the poor I'll give one half of all my goods," said he. Oh, messed it up. And if I've cheated anyone, four times will I repay. And Jesus said, "Salvation has come to you. I have come to seek and save. I have come to seek and save." Look that up. Write that down. It'll help you remember about this passage. And that's basically the passage of Zacchaeus. So thank you for coming today. Have a good week. That's not. There's a little bit more. This song and many other songs that we have learned in Sunday school and vacation Bible school have been impactful for us as children. And all of you remembered those songs. Where are you going? It's my son, I can do that. So, there's an important message in this passage. More than just the cute song that we learn, which is really, really straight out of the Bible. The words that are there. There's nothing wrong with them, and they're true. But there is an important message in this passage. And this passage and its message is this, that conversion is possible. That sudden change and repentance is possible, even for a tax collector. And guess what next month is? You guessed it. It's tax time. So, as we think about change, perhaps you grew up in a home where you looked down on certain people, certain crowds. They were outcast. They were set aside by society for many reasons. And you thought, well, there goes a waste. There goes somebody that's never going to change. They're good for nothing. Well, I'm here to tell you that that's not the case. And if you've ever felt like you're one of those people, understand that change is possible, that repentance can happen, and that sudden change or gradual change can be part of your life. Psychologists, psychiatrists, and psychotherapists believe, and contrary to Freud, that if you were brought up in a home and that you brought up in a home in your childhood and your parents raised you to be a certain way, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be that way the remainder of your life. For those of you who had a difficult childhood, that must be some good news for you to know that you're not stuck there. The medical people are looking for change. They've grouped all of us into two categories. Guess what? You're either type A or you're type B. The way that I made grades in school, they didn't have a type for me. No, so type A, of course, these are the high achievers, the overachievers, the people that just go all out. They're hardworking people. Guess what? They also have heart attacks. Then there's people that are the type B people. The type B people are the people that enjoy smelling the roses and stop and looking at the daisies and hearing the birds sing. They're people that like to have fun, and they're people that enjoy the world. And they are less prone to having heart attacks. And guess what? Type Bs live longer. So medical people are trying to figure out not some other procedure that they can do. No offense to your brother, Connie, who works in the heart area, right? Or is it neurosurgery? Neurosurgery. Well, I thought I was right. But anyway, you know, they are trying to figure out how, instead of finding another surgery for the heart, we can instead be more like type B in the medical field, so we can not be prone to heart attacks. Then if you have a low IQ, educators have realized that perhaps you're not stuck with that IQ for the rest of your life, that in fact you can change, that IQ scores can be raised. Radical change is possible. Interesting. History also gives us some facts about conversions. Here's a couple of them. There was an Anglican priest by the name of John Wesley. Perhaps you recognize that name, Betty, working at the United Methodist Church. The man John Wesley was a priest, and he became a missionary to the United States, and he came back from there, and he felt terrible. He was just down and distraught about his experience, and he went to Aldersgate, and it was there that he had a strange and warming sensation in his heart, and he was converted. He was born again, and he came back to the United States and was helpful and became a fountain of life in the United Methodist Church. I bet they would love to have him back today. Then there was St. Augustine. I gotta love this quote by St. Augustine. This is an actual quote from St. Augustine. "O Lord, make me pure but not yet. Lord, make me pure, but not yet. And he became a great saint, someone that we revere. And then there's William Booth. William Booth, who looked down upon the poor people and thought, boy, you know, that's terrible that there's something that they're homeless and that they can't eat and all these things. And one day he prayed, Lord, I give you everything there is in this man, William Booth. Do with me what you will. And of course, he started the Salvation Army. And thousands, hundreds of thousands of lives were changed because of this one man's conversion. Of course, conversion is a key message and at the center of our faith. It's part of the biblical message, and we find it throughout the Old and New Testaments. It is never too late to change while you're still drawing breath. It is never too late to change while you're still drawing breath. You don't need to be locked into the person that you are at this moment. You don't need to be the way that you've always been. You are not a prisoner to your life's track record of who you once were or who you currently are. God, through the power of his Holy Spirit, can change you. The possibility of sudden or gradual change is God's gift to each and every one of us. We all have that opportunity while we're still here. It doesn't matter if you're a liberal, you're a conservative, whether you're high church or low, whether your political, theological stance is, it's never too late to repent. It's never too late to be sorry. It's never too late to turn around. And that is really the essence of conversion, whether it's sudden or gradual. This brings us to the person that we're focused on today, Zacchaeus, that wee little man. That wee little man was he. A tax collector. Not only was he a tax collector, but the Bible says he was a chief tax collector, which meant a couple of things. He was the boss of his area. He was in charge of more than just himself. He was likely in charge of a lot of other people. That also means that he had the opportunity to cheat more people. Because what these tax collectors would typically do is they would not only collect the taxes that were due to them for the Roman government, but they would also take a cut from the people that were underneath them. So they would get wealthy very quickly. This is the case of Zacchaeus. He was a Bernie Madoff type person in the biblical days, if you will. Now, Jesus was making his way down to Jericho. Jericho is a famous spot in biblical history, of course, for many reasons, but it was a town that was down below sea level by the Jordan River, and it was the very spot of commerce in that day. Everything revolves around water in Israel. If you ever get to go there, you'll see that and learn that. Everything revolves around water. And the United States has that similar situation. Everything revolves around water. It was the hub of trade routes. It was a prosperous region. So no doubt that Zacchaeus was able to become very wealthy, that he was able to attain a lot of wealth. King Herod had a palace there. And of course, it was the historic city where Joshua and his trumpeters took down a wall. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing that song for you today. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. You know it, right? All right. Now it's stuck in your head and you'll be singing it. So anyway, Zacchaeus, this tax collector, this short man, gets wind of Jesus coming through town, through Jericho. But there's a lot of people there, lots of crowds. And being short, he wants to see Jesus. He's heard about Jesus, no doubt. But he's short and he can't see because of all the people. You ever been in a parade like that? When you were little, it was always great because your dad would lift you up. And he put you on his shoulders. You could see everything. And as you got older, Dad didn't want to pick you up. I never could understand that. Why? Well, I got older and heavier. But, you know, it's interesting that he decided to climb this tree. It was a tree of about 30 to 40 feet high. So it's not a little tree. And it had a short trunk, and the branches really spread out far. So he could get way up in this tree, and he could look down to see the Lord as the Lord passed by. When this parade arrives, in spite of the crowd on both sides, Jesus sees Zacchaeus. Jesus notices Zacchaeus. And immediately he summons him down. He said, "Zacchaeus, you come down." And it says in our scripture that he said, "I must stay at your home today." We know the song says, "For I'm going to your house today." Same difference, but he must stay. There is a divine urgency here that Jesus must go to Zacchaeus' house. And so Zacchaeus scrambles down the tree, and immediately he gets together his servants, no doubt, and he takes Jesus and his disciples home, and he feeds them and visits with them. If you're like me, you may be wondering, you know, why in the world did Jesus choose Zacchaeus? And you can think this about many of the biblical stories. Why does Jesus choose the people that he chooses? Because we in this society would often not choose people like Zacchaeus. Jesus zeroed in on Zacchaeus. You could surmise that perhaps it was because it would make a great biblical story of a tax collector who was converted and accepted Jesus, and his entire house did as well. Makes a great story and demonstrates the power of Almighty God. But I think a better understanding would be the fact that Jesus knew that Zacchaeus was ready. Zacchaeus was open to conversion. He was willing to make that conversion. He was the person there that was the most ready. He was the person that was the most open. He was the least pious person you could probably find. He was the least religious person. But for some reason, God had placed it upon his heart, and he was hungry to find God. Luke gives us a very consolidated version of this story. And it's nowhere else in Scripture, and we just have a brief part of it here as we look at it today. It basically says that Jesus saw Zacchaeus, he came down from a tree, they went to his house, and his house was converted. It's an interesting story, but a brief one. How would you write this story if you had the opportunity to fill in some blanks? If you were writing the story, maybe you would write it that Jesus was the one that was the narrator of the story, and he was the one that controlled the conversation when they got back to Zacchaeus' house, and he was the one that told Zacchaeus all about God and all about him and himself and about the Holy Spirit, that he was the one that shared prayer with him and helped him to come to that point of conversion, and that Zacchaeus was simply in the audience, and it was more of a monologue type discussion. Or perhaps it's possible that Zacchaeus was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus was asking him questions. "Tell me about your life. How did you get to be so rich? Are you happily married? What about your kids? Are they good kids? How are they doing in school?" These might be the questions. I think it's probably a little bit of both, but we don't know. It's not here in the scripture. I would think that Jesus would share with him the gospel message, and that he would hear it, and therein became a convert, understood what salvation meant, and gave his life to Christ. Not only Zacchaeus, but all those that were in his household did the same thing. And yes, I'm sure that Jesus must have asked him about his family, asked him about how life was going for him, perhaps challenged him on the fact that he was taking from people and utilizing his position for wrong. We don't know. We know that after this happened, that immediately people began to whisper, Jesus is hanging around with a sinner. He's hanging around with that guy that we don't think is an authentic Jew. He's not really a follower of Abraham and carrying out faith in that way. And so people begin to talk. These are the very kinds of people that Jesus hangs out with. Let me say that again. Tax collectors, sinners, prostitutes. You know the stories, my friends. These are the very kinds of people that Jesus hung around with. He didn't look too favorably upon the religious crowd because they thought too highly of themselves. So they were chatting. He wasn't a true son of Abraham, but Jesus said, yes, he is. And he recognized him as a son of Abraham, meaning that he was walking in the footsteps of Abraham, that he was a true Jew. Jesus recognized this, even though he was excluded by society. Zacchaeus, in this story, was an immediate convert. It happened quickly. And guess what? He says, I'm going to give back 4 times as much as I stole, really, from the people that are placed under my care. When you first read that, you say, wow, that's impressive. Wipe that out of your mind. It's not. It's not impressive. Why do I say that? It seems very impressive. And it is a nice thing to do. But it was the law. It was the Roman law. If you were caught stealing, you had to pay back 4 times whatever it was that you took. So he was just following the law. So in that regard, not so much. But this next part was voluntary. And that he decided that he would give up half of all of his money. How many of us would be willing to do that today? To follow Jesus? To give up half of all we own? Or would we be like the rich young ruler when Jesus said to him, sell all your possessions and give to the poor. He couldn't do it, and he went away sad. What was he seeking? Oh, yeah, salvation. What must I do, he said, to inherit eternal life? And this particular person, Jesus said, go sell everything that you have. You'll have eternal life. Or would you be like the prodigal son who went away and squandered everything, but then came back to your senses and returned home to your father, who is God in the story, and say, I'm sorry, I repent, I want to begin again. Who will you be like? Will you be like Zacchaeus, who had an instantaneous conversion? Even though he wasn't really being generous by repaying 4 times as much, I'm sure that the taxpayers were glad to get it back. I know that when I get a tax return, I am excited that I have some money that I loan to Uncle Sam and that he finally decides to return to me whenever he feels like it. I'm always glad, and I'm sure you are. But then when we know we have to pay Uncle Sam, we all grumble about that. It's not fun to pay Uncle Sam. So Zacchaeus met the requirements, but beyond that, he gave half of his goods on a voluntary basis. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to your house. As we journey toward the cross, we'll learn of another person that hung on a cross next to Jesus. And he told that thief, today, you will be with me in paradise, when he cried out to Jesus. It was an instantaneous deathbed confession that brought him salvation. Today, salvation has come to this house, not just to Zacchaeus, but to all within his house. Not just because Zacchaeus accepted Christ, but I believe that the entire household did. For we each have to make that own individual decision. And I believe that Jesus talked to his whole family, but I also want to bring to your attention that I believe that whenever the head of the household, whether that's a male or a female, accepts Christ, that sets the example, that follows Jesus Christ, that reads their Bible, that prays, that attends worship regularly, these are the people that set the example for their children, that train them up in the way that they should go, and later on when they are old, they will not depart from it. I believe that Zacchaeus was a leader within his family at this point, and that his entire household was saved because he was a leader and first himself accepted Jesus, and then they all did. Zacchaeus went cold turkey. Have any of you ever done that for some kind of an addiction that you have, whether it be alcohol, gambling, pornography, drugs? Have you ever went cold turkey? I remember one of my grandparents just cold turkey gave up cigarettes. You know, some people it's more gradual and they need help. There's a key verse in all this passage for us, and it's verse 10. It's verse 10 and it says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. The terminology Son of Man is used only by Jesus in the Gospels. And it's a messianic title, referring to himself as the Messiah, the promise, the one who fulfills the prophecy. He is the Son of Man. It's only used a couple of other times in Scripture, once by Stephen in the book of Acts and another time in John's vision in the book of Revelation. The Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. That is it in a nutshell. That is the purpose for which Jesus came. It is his mission. He came to seek and save that which was lost. It's why there's more rejoicing in heaven over one person who repents than there is over 99 righteous people. Because he came to seek and save that which was lost. That is the purpose. But this conversion may not happen all of a sudden. I've always kind of been envious a little bit of people who have these lightning bolt conversions. Mine was just pretty simple. My pastor read scripture to me and asked me if I wanted to accept Jesus, and I was raised in a Christian home and had Christian influence, and so naturally, yes, I did. But I was a decent person, but that wasn't good enough, and I knew that, and the pastor shared that with me. It didn't happen all of a sudden like it does for some people. Sometime conversion is a long time coming. Sometime we fight it. Sometimes we fight our calling, or we fight the volunteerism that is needed so desperately in churches today. We fight it because we talk ourselves into that we have other priorities that are more important. It's kind of like the physical birth process. Now, I know I'm probably going to catch some flack from the ladies. Just forgive me in advance. But you know for 9 months that baby's coming, right? Once you know you're pregnant, you know you got 9 months. And so it's a process. It's gradual. But you know it's coming. This was the case for Casey Hunt, who used to be an anchor for NBC and later became an anchor for CNN. She knew for 9 months that she was going to deliver her second child. She didn't know that it would take 13 minutes and happen on the bathroom floor at work. You know it's coming, But sometimes it happens immediately, and sometimes, women, I know, for my wife was this way too, sometimes it takes hours. Okay? What is my point? Sometime conversion happens suddenly. Sometimes there's a struggle, and sometimes that struggle goes on for a long, long time. You've prayed for someone for years. You've witnessed to someone for years. They've put it off, and finally, they make that decision. The good news, though, that I want to share with you today is that all throughout Scripture, as long as you are breathing, it's never too late. You can begin again. Who are some examples of biblical characters? Of course, there was David, who was an adulterer. There was Rahab, who was a harlot. There was Peter, who was a coward, who didn't recognize Jesus in front of others. There was Abraham, a liar. There was Jacob, the cheater. And of course, there was Zacchaeus, a wealthy tax collector. And there are many, many more in the Scriptures that you could name off. All of them, unlikely converts, to people that you and I would not choose. Jesus did. What's that say to you? What's that say to me? I'm so proud of our congregation for helping those that are in need. You do it well. You're a group of people that serve the Lord through the food pantry, through CORE, through clothing closet, when there are hurricanes, natural disasters. This congregation responds. We are small, but God has got us to be a mighty group of people. And we change lives when we put our resources together with other congregations in this community. And God is doing marvelous things, as you've heard. But I ask you this question in all sincerity today. When is the time for your conversion? You still have breath. You're still up here today. So I guess the answer is today. The answer is today, because today, this moment is the acceptable hour. Today, salvation can come to you and to all those whom you love. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning will be up on the screen.